Hello!
Hello, everybody!
Welcome!
Welcome to yet another Quirky and Chenille podcast, where we talk about crazy topics in music, pick our top however many we feel like songs, and count them down.
We feel like talking about too.
Exactly.
And today?
Today we thought we'd be inspired because August is a horse's birthday. I know, we needed some coconuts for this.
You with some glass with you
going to
be there.
I'm having Monty Python flashbacks as well now with the brave Sir Robin.
Robin in big tube.
Yeah. Yes. I think we should hire a group of people to follow us around with coconuts just to
do that.
That's hilarious.
And particularly when they get eaten in the end. Yeah.
Well, and Spamalot too is the musical.
I do remember that.
They incorporate that as well, which is very fun.
Anywho.
So we're going to have our top 12 songs
about
horses.
Horses.
And pretty much rules on this one were pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
You had to talk about horses or
Horse-related
topics. And obviously ones we hadn't talked about before, not that there are any that we talked about.
No.
It's not a topic that comes up very often with us. But we thought, horse's birthday. Happy birthday, horses.
Yes.
Here's
and I'm sure
songs.
They know about it too. I'm sure they go, hey, we're expecting some hay today.
I see what you did there.
Yeah. It was pretty clever. It was actually really lame. So we best move on.
We'll just move on. So we thought we'd open up number 12. We've got our top 12 horse songs. Thought we'd open up with the theme song from Mr. Ed.
You kind of have to, don't you?
I mean, what's not to love about a TV show about a talking horse that has a pretty catchy... Back in that, and we talked about this when we did our TV theme tunes back when, the golden era of theme
TV
songs. Yeah, this is right in there, the theme song from
Mr. Right
Ed. Sheldon Allman, I believe, is the artist. Apparently the B-side of that was the pretty little filly with the ponytail.
Did you end up trying to listen to the
I could not find it. I could not find it, unfortunately. So if anyone has that out there, let me know.
Yeah, wouldn't that be good to know?
Yeah, I'm thinking, but it might be one of those songs you listen to and go, ooh, that's very sexist. Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
That could be creepy if you go on a big list.
Maybe. But anyway, theme song for Mr. Ed. No, happy little song. I mean, it'd be a strange kind of thing to have to sing. But apparently he had to watch the horse's lips and make it fit in with the way the actual horse, the Palomino horses, did that. So, yeah. I watched a few reruns of the show, I think, back in the 80s or 90s, and you thought, it's mildly amusing. But then you went, I think you're just doing pretty much the same thing. The same thing happens every... There was a formula.
Oh, wow. Well, that worked. Let's just keep
getting into some sort of trouble. Ed would, of course, only talk to Wilbur.
Yes.
So, and then when anyone else, thought he wouldn't say anything, there'd always be a phone call where he'd pick up the phone and pretend to be someone and order something or do something or, call someone about something. So, it was a little bit formulaic, but, it was a good concept. It actually came from the movies Francis the Talking Mule.
Okay.
And then they decided to make it into TV, but called it Mr. Ed.
Or did you just know this in your head?
A little from column A, a little from column B.
Wow.
Because
It's kind of scary how much you know about that.
Thanks.
I don't actually think I've seen it at all.
Oh, really? No, I did watch it a bit. Yeah.
Yeah, I think I have.
You're not missing a whole lot, except for the theme song, which is pretty fun.
Okay, I think I've seen a little bit of that.
Yeah.
With the horse guy.
Yeah.
Sort of.
Yeah, they just give him something to eat, so it looks like he's moving his lips.
Pretty
much.
Cool.
Yeah.
Rightio. So, number 11, let's move on.
I'll do number 11 because you can do number 10. Number 11.
Did you just do that?
Yep. Oh, I just did that.
Yeah, you did.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to talk
number
about
11,
number
10. Moby, Pale Horses. We actually, when we make our list, our short list, we, find as many songs with horse in it and rule the ones out. You go, no, that's just crap.
Yeah.
No. This one we went, it's all right. But the reason that we actually included, apart from it's a very Moby song.
Very Moby song?
Yeah, so it's not bad.
No.
But it was a little bit creepy because the album it was on was called something about songs for dinner time party songs.
Oh, yes, it was. Dinner time party songs.
And this had, I don't know where the Pale Horses came in, but this was talking about death and super depressing things. We went, I'm not sure.
It's got a smoothie lullaby sort of tune. Then it's okay to talk about it.
You put whatever you want in the lyrics, and it'll just, no one will be listening anyway, because I'll be at dinner and going, occasionally going, oh, that's a nice little tune. What's that? Oh, that's Moby.
Didn't we find that though when we did our very first podcast? Remember all those podcasts ago when we did our very first one, that Music for Mum?
Yes.
And those songs were like really creepy. They were not songs that you would want to sing to your mum unless you have a very disturbing relationship.
Yeah.
And you really need to go see somebody about that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this is maybe the same sort of thing. It's like it's that sort of a sound that they're looking for, but it's best lyrics for dinner.
I agree. Yes, the lyrics, they weren't dinner lyrics. It was dinner music.
Yeah.
Not dinner lyrics.
Yeah.
But anyway.
But then what is dinner music, really?
Well, yeah, I like a good mixture of stuff. You normally don't put anything too heavy, but nothing too chill out.
But you kind of want to ease into the after dinner and a little more party.
Yeah, so you kind of ramp it up towards the end, towards dessert, you start to get a bit more.
But it's also a good conversation starter, even if it is mixed up a bit, because then people go, oh, I really like this song.
Yeah, and they might not hear for 3 or 4, and then there's a pause in conversation, and someone will go, oh, wow, I love this song.
Yeah.
Or just suddenly go, I like this list that you've got.
Yeah.
So I've got a couple of good, kick-ass playlists that I've got.
Have you got a dinner list?
Yeah.
We're going to have to vet this dinner list, people, to see whether he's got Moby in there with Pearl Horses.
No, it's not on there, but maybe it should be.
Maybe it should be. But, hey, sneak it in and see if anybody notices.
Yeah. What is this song? Yeah. Crazy ass.
I'm going to create a list and I'm so going to add this in and see if people
maybe
know.
We need our dinner list. Maybe we need the dinner podcast.
List, a dinner party list.
Yep.
That is hilarious.
Yes, definitely.
Okay, right. It's written down.
Okay.
You know what that means.
It's written down. It's a task.
It's
on the list.
It's on the list to do.
All right, number 10.
You don't want to talk about number 10.
No, I'm out of here. I'll just outsource everything to you. For reasons that have been discussed in many previous podcasts.
Many previous podcasts.
Some of which ended up on the cutting room floor. But
Are we still learning about that? I think we are. All right, so let's do number 10.
Let's go.
So let's all keep the listeners in suspense.
Any longer
sounds
than
like I've got a bit of
blah,
blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Speech impediment happening today.
Yeah.
So the band, of course, is U2, which is why Neil is now drinking, so he doesn't even have to speak while this is happening.
Mm-hmm.
So the band is U2, and the horse, the song is called "Who's Gonna Ride Your Wild Horses?"
Who's gonna ride wild horses? I don't think they sing it like that. But
you don't think they do?
No.
No, funnily enough, they don't.
Yeah.
From the acting baby, which is where you kind of think they slid off.
Yeah, that was the jump the shark moment for me.
Jump the shark.
They totally jumped the shark at that point. That's a TV reference.
Sharks and
do you want me to explain jumping the shark?
I don't think I know this.
So if a TV show has jumped the shark, it means it's got so desperate that it's actually the beginning of the end for the show. Everything after that is downhill and it's gone. And it links back to a famous episode of Happy Days, where Fonzie was water skiing and there was a big shark fin in the water and he somehow managed to jump over the shark, and even their most ardent fans just went, that was super lame. Like, and the show just desperately went, just died after that. Usually another sign the show was dying is that they got Ted McGinley in to boost ratings.
Okay.
So think Happy Days, The Love Boat, Married with Children. there's a whole list of shows that they got him in to try and, when the ratings were flagging.
I didn't know that reference.
It's the beginning of the end.
Because when you say jump the shark, all I think of is those real B-grade movies like Sharknado and what's the other one where the piranhas get really big?
Piranha.
This is like a B-grade version of Piranha.
Oh, yeah. No,
where they something happens and they just get bigger and bigger and bigger.
This in the lake, the lake in the American lake.
Or, it could be. There's like a whole few spin-offs in there. The piranhas jump into the ocean.
Yeah.
So I wasn't sure if it was like one of those things and then start attacking sharks. Because, of course, they can because they're like
super
three times the size of a shark now because they've had some, I don't know, radioactive stuff.
Oh, yeah. Damn those radioactive volcanoes that release Godzilla and everything else into the world.
Absolutely.
How did we get onto that when we're talking about horses?
Yes, how did we? Whew. It was probably because you just didn't listen.
I was probably just trying to distract you from talking about U2.
All right, we're done. We've talked about Gonna Ride Your Wild Horses. It wasn't that painful.
No, it was okay. It was all right. It's all right. I didn't find a lot of depth in the lyrics. I was hoping I would, but I didn't. Oh. I just found it a little cliche, but anyway.
Right. Do you mind if I talk about the next one too?
You can talk about the next one too.
So another one of my favourite bands is The Cult. And this song I hadn't actually heard before in a great deal of depth. I had heard a little bit of it, but it's not like one of the repeats. What do you call it when you go over and over it again? Probably would be a repeat. There could be another word for it, but I can't think of it right now.
Mm-hmm.
American Horse is the name of the song.
Yes.
But there was something a little bit peculiar about this one because it's very cult. No question, it's just a cult song. Start listening to it, totally a cult song. But it had a little bit of some Def Leppard, Pour Some Sugar on Me sounding to it too, didn't it?
Not wanting to be a little bit of an Adam Hills here.
Yeah. But
I only heard it for the first time today and went, I actually started singing Pour Some Sugar on Me while they were singing American Horse and went, you've just ripped up. Well, which one came first?
Oh, I know. I think I looked. And
I think Pour Some Sugar on Me was first.
I think it might have been.
Yeah, this was
2014 or something like that. Yeah. I did check it out and it's magically evaporated from my brain.
Yeah, but yeah, I think Def Leppard should have a good listen to this song and say, hey, I think you should be giving me some royalties, if they're not already.
Or the other way around, if it's The Cult has released it first, and, you know.
Yes.
Copycat.
We have to solve that dilemma.
I think we will. I'll have to find out. I'll post it on our, you know.
Have a look at our Twitter.
On our Facebook Twitter pages. Yes.
You know the social media things we have that we don't use often?
Yeah, so we're so going to use this. We're going to solve this mystery for people.
Yes.
We're going to solve the mystery of who came first.
I love that. Solve the mystery. She's just put that as an action item.
There's secrets.
Yep. Dinner party list and solve the mystery. The mystery.
With an arrow.
If somebody else picks up this, your to-do list, they're going to go, what the hell is this?
In fact, I'll probably pick up the to-do list and go, what the hell is this?
What, I've got an arrow to a song. Why have I got that? Oh, I don't know. Doesn't matter.
So that was number nine. So number nine. Number eight,
number,
Neil?
What is number eight? We've got a big song in the early 70s. Cause it's pretty trippy, though. I Am Pegasus by Ross Ryan.
Yeah. Which means horse, which it doesn't actually mean horse, but anyway.
Yeah, well, it's like the winged horse in Greek mythology, kind of that thing.
That bit. But
I think the Greek word for horse is hippo, as I was saying, because hippopotamus is river horse. So, and like the hippodrome was where the horses ran.
Yeah,
so I Am Pegasus. Yeah, really, just really trippy early 70s, almost folky kind of song, but huge on the charts.
Massive,
around the world.
Yeah,
in Australia as well.
And I love the fact that he kind of had the mic, was playing his guitar, and had his head turned so that he could still sing in the mic, but turning to the audience. It's the entire film. Yeah. Asleep, a voice starter, dude. Oh, I think you have to talk about the next one too.
All right, yes. You have to. So at number seven... And actually, this is the only one... Oh, no, there's two that don't actually have the word horse in the title.
Yes, true.
So this one is Pony by Genuine.
Genuine.
Although I looked, his name is Elton Baylor. Some just weird, like, bizarro surname. But yeah, so his name's Elgin. But Genuine was his gangster name. And this was a huge song.
It was a huge song.
Mid-90s? Yeah. Early mid-90s. Yeah. Big wow. 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 It was all like, you know, going to take you back to my crib, get my pony out so you can ride it, baby. You know, it's... And Christina's blushing now. It's quite wrong. And actually, we were listening to it before together and just going... If you got back to somebody's place and they started playing this, I think I'd just piss myself laughing. Oh my God, you are not serious.
And is there a mirror above your bed? There is, isn't there? Yeah. And it's got to be like a leopard skin bedspread, isn't it?
Yeah.
Isn't it? With satin pillows, isn't it? You're just like, meh.
Yep, you want it. Come ride it. My pony. My pony.
Oh dear. This reminds me of the song that friend Helen teaches primary school.
Yep.
And the kids come in and say, can we sing a song, which is sometimes really sweet, about what's the sound the fox makes, which is by this Norwegian guy. It is ridiculous. Like, it's absolutely ridiculous. Yeah. He goes through a whole heap of different sounds, you know, trying to find which sound it is that a fox makes. All right,
that's cute. Yeah.
It is kind of cute. And then he goes to, you know, horses, you know, neigh, and which is why the wine, you know, the horses neigh, the cows moo, the cats meow. He goes through all these things. It's just... Oh, it's really shit. It's so bad.
Okay, well, thanks for sharing with everyone.
Well, you got to watch it. You got to watch it because you won't believe it.
Okay.
You won't believe it.
But while you're there, download some genuine. Put on your leopard skin undies because you know you've got them. Make sure no one else is in the house.
And dance around.
And prance around the house.
Like a pony.
Have you seen those things, by the way? You know, this is a sport.
What?
In somewhere in Scandinavia that started this sport of dressage without a horse.
So
You've got almost like a broomstick with a head on it, and they're doing dressage and show jumping and trotting, and it's a thing. Oh my God, people.
Like air guitar.
Yeah. Well, air guitar at least is fun. Yeah. This looks so bad.
Oh, wow. What? Well, you know, it doesn't surprise me.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy. Whew. That was, yeah, who knew the pony was going to be talked about that long?
That much.
So let's go number six.
Number six. Classic.
Classic. The Rolling Stones with Wild Horses.
Mm.
It's a beautiful song.
Yeah, it is. It's a love song.
It is a love song. And it's not a rock... Duh. It's a love song. It's not a rock song. You probably could have a love song that is a rock song. But this one is
especially with the Stones.
Song.
But, that's a great... Like, Angie, it's in that genre of, you know, just... As you said, you were saying, you don't often hear Mick Jagger sing.
Yes.
And when he does, like, he's got a great voice.
He's got a great voice. It's an interesting voice. It's a raspy voice, but it's still a great voice.
Mm.
And he was holding the notes, you know, as you would expect him to do in a love song. It's actually a beautiful song, really well written, really well crafted, saying, you know, wild horses couldn't drag me away. It's just gorgeous.
Yes.
And it's not that, you know, rock and heavy. It's actually quite lovely.
Mm. And actually then it hit a few years ago for Subo.
Subo.
Susan Boyle. This is
that's right. Every time you say that, I'm like,
this was one of her.
What rapper is this?
Yeah, Subo. You take the first two letters of their first name, the first two of their surname.
Right, is that a thing?
Yeah, or like J-Lo. But yeah, I don't
J-Lo?
That was the first one. Anyway, it's that kind of thing.
Right.
Yeah, but...
But Subo, you said two. J-Lo wouldn't be two.
Yeah, but it's one syllable. You can't say Espo, because that just sounds awful.
Well, you could say Espo, but it would sound a bit stupid.
Yeah.
So. Okay, anyway.
Susan Boyle also had a hit with it too. I think it was one of the songs that she sang on when she was actually a contestant.
Oh, right.
After the whole world heard her sing I Dreamed a Dream 20 bazillion times.
Yeah. That's the actual count too, people.
Yeah.
Check it out. That's
It's a real number. I'll stand by that. But yeah, she also had a great version of it as well.
Yeah.
She performed on the show.
Lovely voice.
Yep.
Hmm. Okay, so let's go. Shall we go number five?
Shall we?
Shall
Let's
we?
Go crazy and go to number five after we've done number six. Woo!
Are you talking about?
Do you want me to talk about? I'll talk about this one. America.
Oh, I reckon you want to talk about the one above this. Though.
America, yeah. A horse with no name.
Yeah. You could not have a list that's about horses without this horse in there.
Yeah. I mean, it's a long song. It's also a little bit trippy, but...
Yeah, a little bit trippy.
And it's just one of those songs you probably heard to death on the radio.
Yeah.
Probably because our parents liked it, or, you know.
Or maybe it was just that time, like the 70s, and they just kept playing it over and over and over again.
Yeah.
But it's not a bad song.
Yeah,
you know, it's very
song.
America.
Again, it's a strain, you know.
Yeah.
Why didn't you just give it a name?
Yeah. Like one or two, even. A,
yeah.
B.
Or horse.
Matter. Or horse, yeah.
Yeah.
Poor horse.
I know.
It's a bit mean, actually.
I know. Just using it.
I think you are American.
Especially when you're on the
people.
In the desert. You've been through the desert.
I know. You could at least have the courtesy of giving the horse a name.
Although, you know, he was saying you can't remember your name because there ain't no one what to give you no name. Like, but if you're with the horse, couldn't you have named the horse?
Yeah.
I know they're trying to be all esoteric.
Or is it like a random horse that's kind of walking by through the desert as you're walking through the desert, which is a bit weird to start off with?
But you can still give it a name.
You could still give it a name. It could be that horse.
That horse over there that looks like it's following me.
Yeah. Or that horse that I've imagined because I'm on some ridiculously large amount of drugs.
Super dehydrated.
Or super dehydrated. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Could be.
Yep.
Oh, I think it's a bit mean. I think America has been a bit mean here. So number four is Belinda Carlisle, Runaway Horses.
Nice. Aww. I know.
It's so very Belinda Carlisle.
It is classic Belinda Carlisle.
Isn't it? This is just classic.
If there is such a thing as classic Belinda Carlisle, this song
this
is it.
It. Yep.
And in fact, it's probably fitting because that was the name of the album that a lot of her hits were on.
Yeah, a lot of her hits,
Yeah. I think so. And this actually, I thought, oh no, she's got a song called Runaway Horses. I can't remember it.
Yeah.
And then we played it and we went, oh, I love this song. Yeah. Whoa. Runaway Horses.
With the film clip where it's like a movie playing in the background, like a movie of horses, you know, within their beautiful manes.
Flowing in the wind.
Flowing in the wind.
Probably running wild on a beach.
Artistic, all that sort of stuff.
Nice.
It's a very classic blues song. I like it. We like it. We decided we liked it.
Yes.
Nice.
It
is nice. All right,
number three, a bit of Australiana for
Australiana.
You. This little gem. When I was talking to my partner Robert about horse songs, and he went, what about the Hondo Grattan song? And I went, what? I know. I knew that Hondo Grattan was a standard bred, so a trotter. The trots. Well, it wasn't a trotter, it was a pacer.
Oh, sorry.
Yes, a harness racing was the word I was looking for there. So,
sorry.
There's two, you know, the difference. Pacers' legs are front and back together, front and back together.
Yeah.
Trotters are like diagonal ones, so they're slower.
Right, okay. Yeah.
So it's actually they run a different way. They put different feet on the ground at different times.
Wow.
Mm.
Okay.
So he was a pacer. One of Australia's...
run faster or slower, or does it really matter?
Pacers make faster,
than trotters, but not faster than thoroughbreds other ways.
So yes, Hondo Grattan was one of the great, great horses of Australian
folklore.
Yes, in history, he had back in those days they had like a million. So he'd had about 150 race starts, which they so wouldn't do
that's
anymore.
A solid horse.
But I reckon he won about 80 or 90 of them, including two Interdominions, which is like the Melbourne Cup of harness racing. So yeah, And I thought, well, two extra things on this. One, it's Johnny Tapp singing it. A legendary, legendary Australian race caller.
And
I love Johnny.
You can hear the race calling kind of sound. He doesn't sound like he's race calling,
but he can sing.
He
can sing.
He can actually sing quite well. And
Hondo Grattan was from Bathurst.
Yay!
The Bathurst Bulldog. So that's why I thought, not only will Christina like this song, and it is such...
So catchy.
So catchy. Go, 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 you little beauty. We're going, come on, Hondo Grattan. We're cheering it on at the end.
We're so jealous.
It was such a cute, little song.
It is.
And I love it when celebrities, you find these hidden talents.
Yeah.
I didn't know Johnny Tapp could sing.
Sings really well, actually.
Who knew? And, I'll probably go back and look at history and realize that that's probably what he started as. Well, calling a race is like singing as well. Yeah. I need to... shocking remembering all the horses and colours, but... Yeah.
Oh, no, not doing the race calling. Oh. I mean, having your voice and then translating that voice into singing.
Yes. Perhaps we could do that.
Perhaps. Let's move
on. So, yes. Well, hats off to you, Hondo Grattan, the
Bathurst
Bulldog. And Johnny Tapp, number three.
It's
awesome.
Such a cool song. And, everyone out there... You're welcome.
Yes.
You're welcome to hearing this song.
Listen to the song.
It's really cool.
Get it stuck in your head. Maybe hate us after about 20 times and you can't get it out. But listen to it. It's awesome.
You'll love it. So then let's go back to the 80s. Back to the 80s.
Bring on the dancing horses, I say.
Let's do it. Bring on the dancing horses. Echo and the Bunnymen. Echo and the Bunnymen. One of the things that I'd like to do, which I will do, because me, I'm a doer, is actually create shirts that have lyrics on them, obscure lyrics, so that, it's only the fans of the fans, the real die-hard...
Like your Morrissey ones that you...
Yeah.
Like, Last Night I Dreamed, what is it?
Last Night I Dreamed Somebody Loved Me on pillowcases.
Yeah.
Awesome! It's so good!
Except you bought those pillowcases and you've never used them because you went, I could never use
them. No, you don't use them.
But can you buy a spare set that you use and the show set?
You could do that. They're $40 a pop.
But then,
per pillowcase.
But then you could say, actually, it's less than.
Well, you could pretend, I suppose.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll work that out. We'll work that out, though. It's a good challenge to set me.
Mm-hmm.
The last time he actually did have his merch. My pillowcases. What the hell?
But what about Echo and the Bunnymen?
Oh, yeah, back to Echo and the Bunnymen. So So they're one of the bands that have some very cool, obscure lyrics within their songs. And lyrics that I kind of, you can't help but go, ooh, I like that lyric. It's just kind of, you know, like Glittering Prize from Simple Minds or something like that. Just something that you kind of go, ooh, that is a good lyric. It's like only the diehard fans are going to like that lyric. And I can't remember what the one is that on Bring on the Dancing Horses reminds me of today.
But a good song, and I came across this song because it's on the Pretty in Pink soundtrack.
Which so we got when we were doing
after we talked about
movies.
Yes, movies and stuff. So that's a great
whole album.
And it's such a such an 80s. It's such a little time capsule.
It is a little time capsule.
And this song just fits perfectly in that whole. Yeah. It was almost the British invasion again in the 80s of all those slightly alternative bands.
Yeah.
You know, with crazy ass names like Echo and the Bunnymen.
Yeah.
Although in excess were on that too. And please let me get what I want was on there. But I think it was the
Dream Academy version.
It was the Dream Academy version on that one.
Version, yeah. Which is beautiful as well. So it's a good song.
Yeah, so it just
as we've said many times, if it's a good song, other people can cover it and it still makes it a good song regardless of what they or how they change it.
Yes.
So yes, this is, you know, Bring on the Dancing Horses. And to my abject horror, I realised I don't have this song in my collection.
No, because you went to it straight into collection and went, okay, I'll just type in Echo and the Bunnymen. You went, five albums, 39 songs. And you went, oh, it's not here.
It's like, what the hell? So that is something I have to, I have to now go and recheck that I don't have all of their albums because I was pretty sure I did, and then just go purchase it because it's stressing me like you wouldn't believe that I don't have this song.
I can't even look at you anymore. I just see disappointment now in front of me.
It was one of their big hits too, which is the other thing that's like, how could I possibly have every other obscure song from Echo and the Bunnymen and yet not the hit?
And with that, it's Echo and the Bunnymen revoked Christina's membership to their fan club.
I really reckon we should do an obscure 80s artist list at some point.
God,
maybe I do
right
that for Quirkuary.
Quirkuary next year.
Yeah, all right. Let's hit the number one.
Number one, I don't think you're going to be surprised. Anyone's going to be surprised at our number one. Well, maybe some people will be surprised because they go, what? No, I
don't think so.
I'm pretty sure most people will be thinking.
I think they're going to be going.
See what she did there?
That was even an accident.
Our number one song, The Horses by Daryl Braithwaite, of course.
Oh, of course.
And this is a great song about horses.
How you gonna be a little darling?
This is very good.
Such a good song.
And it's been done in many, again, we were talking about a very good song being sung in different genres. Ricky Lee Jones has a great version of this.
It is a really good version.
I love Ricky Lee Jones anyway.
So
she is one cool cat. this is not Ricky Lee, the Australian artist, Ricky Lee Coulter. This is Ricky Lee Jones, who's, you know, of Chucky's In Love.
Yeah.
And there's also, I noticed, this week or recently, it depends where I'm recording this and playing it later. It was in the iTunes Top 10. It was a dance remix of, well, a new version of this. So.
Yep, I have to track that one down. Still haven't found it, but yeah.
Be done in anything, but good old Daryl. And the other thing I love about this, backup vocals on this.
No, not Sarah McLachlan.
You know who? No. Although now, thankfully, you have mentioned her again in a podcast, so I've got through the tick contractual obligation, mention Sarah McLachlan somehow in every podcast. No. So you know where he sings, this is where he's going to be, and someone sings, Be Little Darling.
Yeah.
Margaret Ehrlich.
Oh.
Who had a lot of hits, solo hits in the 90s. You'll Always Be My Number One.
Boy on the
Moon, Escaping.
Wow.
So she did the backup vocals on the horses. Good old Daryl Braithwaite, who of course we remember as lead singer of Sherbet.
Sherbet
in the 70s. Back
this
on
was
Countdown.
Kind of like his breakout solo hit, wasn't it?
It was
like, I'm doing my own thing and I'm writing about horses.
Yep.
What the?
Yep.
But it worked.
And it's been used so many times. Yeah. I know Hawthorne Football Club have used it for things.
Yeah.
And like
it was even used for an ad at one point where you, like a repair for your car, you take your horses in for repairing. And it was really lame. With, you know, the whole beach scene. So the horses galloping along the beach.
Galloping with their manes flowing.
You know,
yeah,
with the guy sitting on the bareback with all their hair, you know. It was just
someone like Fabio. Yeah.
Oh, it's such a good song, though.
No, it is. It is a good song.
It's just a doozy.
Yeah,
it's a doozy.
So that was our.
You're going to talk about sherbet. You got to have a doozy in there, surely.
That was our all consensus number one.
Oh yeah.
That was also another like a couple of recent ones as well, where we've just gone number one's this, right?
Yeah.
Good. Done. Good. Locked in. Yeah, it's the middle ones. Usually the end ones we go, these ones are near the end, and it's the middle ones then we go.
Yeah, we go, we debate over, don't we, a little bit.
Yeah.
But we didn't have, you know, this time, you know, we were pretty okay.
I think there was a few that we sort of went, that could go there or there, and I don't mind either way. Yeah. But Darryl Braithwaite had to go number one.
Had to go number one.
Absolutely. So
thanks, Darryl. Thanks for
Thank you,
the
everybody.
Horses.
So happy birthday, horses.
I hope you get some delicious hay. Maybe a few sugar cubes.
That's right. A nice little apple, something like that for your birthday.
Ooh, and a carrot, maybe. Ooh, could be yum. Could be a feast.
Yep. All of that. Thank you for listening to us once again, Quirky and Chenille.
Yes.
And we will see you at our next podcast.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.